following has been pre-recorded for your listening and dancing pleasure.
This Doug and Danny podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Hi, it's the Herd. Hey, Christmas is almost here. Now is the perfect time to send family and friends a gift that's going to brighten up their home with the spirit of the holiday. It's the traditional Christmas centerpiece from 1-800-Flowers.com makes every holiday table festive. It's hand-arranged by a local florist, and it's filled with roses, fresh lilies, carnations, and fresh Christmas greens, accented with a beautiful candle. I've got it. Absolutely beautiful. Perfect way to say happy holidays. Brightens up the room. For a limited time, 1-800-Flowers.com has a special offer for my listeners. Order the traditional Christmas centerpiece, and you also get a free upgrade to a larger centerpiece. Okay, that's more flowers for free, starting at just $29.99. Plus, it's available for same-day delivery. Don't wait. Order it now. Go to 1-800-Flowers.com from your desktop or mobile device. Click on the radio mic upper right side, enter Colin. 1-800-Flowers.com, enter Colin, or call 1-800-Flowers and mention my name. Arm, I love having him on once a year. I was also the same guy
You're
that said...
You're tuned into the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. You can join the show by calling the Bruce Furniture fan line, emailing the Dent Popper inbox, by sending us a tweet or a Facebook message. The show that brings you guests that offer the best insight from the top professionals in sports.
Stu Pospisil, Omaha World Herald. Brian Rosenthal, beat writer for the Lincoln Journal Star. From ESPN, ESPN.com, Adam Rittenberg, Steve Sipple, the Lincoln Journal Star. Mike Babcock of Huskers Illustrated, Sean Callahan of HuskerOnline.com.
As well as the top athletes and coaches in sports.
Tim Miles in his initial visit to the Doug and Daddy Show. U.S. Olympian Tervell Delagnev, Doug O'Neill, winning trainer of All Have Another.
Who will be on the show today? Let's find out by heading to the Midway Auto Dealership broadcast booth for the Doug and Daddy Show.
And good morning, everyone. Welcome to the Doug and Daddy Show here on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Glad to have you along with us on this Thursday. Doug Duda, Andy Griffith.
Hello.
What's going on, man?
Oh, just hanging out, man.
Working 7 days a week.
Yeah, just trying to brave it through all this snow out here. I don't know if anybody noticed, but there was a blizzard last night. So
they were right this time.
Yeah.
And by they, I mean the weathermen.
Yeah, it was, And actually, I don't know how bad it would have been if we wouldn't have had the wind. You know, I mean, if you just take out the 40-mile-an-hour winds, you know, you probably got 3 to 5 inches of snow, and it's a really pretty scene in the morning. But that wind got a little bit aggressive.
Yeah, six inches, I think, was the unofficial official. And Kent Boughton, of course, said it was 8 inches because he went out and measured it. Of course, he said he just opened the door and put the yardstick out and measured it, but always fun. So everybody's doing a great job to the road department out there. I know they're easy to make fun of, like lawyers and government officials. But, you know, they're out there and they're doing a good job. And, you know, the first one of the year, not until December the 19th. So everybody has to get used to it again. And it is slick out there, folks. So, again, be careful. A lot of the schools got out. Some of the unfortunate ones had a late start. Sorry about that, folks. But we're here on the Doug and Daddy Show for the next hour. Mannheim Steamroller is on tonight, folks, at the Viero Events Center. So I know that's a sold-out deal. And if you need more information, call the folks at the Viero. But it's on, and they do have a Facebook page. So instead of calling out there 25 times, like them on Facebook, and they'll keep you updated. But if it's on now, it'll be on tonight. And again, they're doing their diligence to get everything set up and go through all the proper channels to make sure. And it is going to go on tonight. So a little Mannheim here on the program today. Doug Good, Andy Griffith, and on the show in just a little while, coming up after our first break, Derek Rackley from the Big Ten Network is going to join us. Talk about Wisconsin's hiring of Gary Anderson as their new head football coach from Utah State. We'll also take a look at the bowl games. Big Ten pretty much jams them all into a few days. The first one is on the 28th when Minnesota plays Texas Tech, and then there are a ton of them on January 1st. Five bowl games, five of the seven Big Ten teams play on January the 1st, including, of course, Nebraska taking on Georgia. So we'll talk with him about that. Josh Howgie, Tri-City Storm coach, will join us on the program today. And it is Thursday. Luke Hoover will join us to talk fantasy football and answer your questions. A lot of folks, if you're still in it, This is your championship week. What do you need to know if it is championship week? Some folks have leagues that go all year long and aren't head-to-head, so you're coming into the home stretch. So that's coming up. Email or Facebook your fantasy football questions for Luke Hoover of RotoWire to us here at the Doug and Daddy Show. And the email address, DougAndDaddy@ESPNSuperstation.com. Doug and Daddy at ESPNSuperstation.com. Of course, Andy, we folks know him from, you know, owning Midway, the Midway Auto Dealership, being the czar out there. You probably saw him out there scooping around all the cars this morning. Some know you from your Aurora Husky outstanding academic days. Some of them know you from your Husky athletic days, your collegiate days. But I know one thing that you really follow is recruiting. You're a big Husker fan, obviously, and there's been a lot of recruiting news over the last week, and Nebraska missed out yesterday on Bo Sandlin, number one tight end prospect for them, somebody they were really targeting, an area of need. And I know in talking to Sean Callahan and Brian Munson, they really thought that Nebraska was going to get this young man, and he goes to Miami of Florida. Huskers will get to play against him here in a couple of years.
Yeah, you know, I think the real turning point was Vince Morrow. They said that Vince Morrow had a fantastic relationship with Bo Sandlin, and there was literally an article that came out the next day after Vince Morrow basically told everybody that he was going to the University of Kentucky. And at that point, you could just almost kind of tell that, hey, you know what, since Vince isn't going to be there, since he's not going to be my position coach, you know, it's probably time for me to go ahead and move on and go somewhere else. And that was a huge loss. It's kind of tough. You know, you have Kyler Reed and you have Cotton right now that are currently with the Huskers. And I think sometimes what hurts us in trying to get in that tight end recruit is you got you probably have two of the best tight ends in the nation. And I know people will disagree with that comment, but I think once, you know, those guys get out to the combine and you see what type of 40 times they're running and all that stuff, I think people are going to realize that we probably had better talent at tight end than we ever would have thought. And the thing is then you spread the ball around to two people. You know, I think if you go ahead and create one person out of that and you give one guy all those stats, I think you can turn the head of these tight end recruits a lot better. But I think when you're a Bo Sandlin or you're a four-star or five-star tight end recruit, you sit there and you say, okay, Kyler Reed had like 25 catches for 300 and, you know, 75 yards. But if you throw in what Cotton did and how they split time, you know, and I think that's something the coaches were probably really trying to emphasize. But, you know, they kind of got an uphill battle right now. They lost that momentum after the Big Ten game, and what they really need to concentrate on is just getting these kids on campus and just making sure they can finish out strong. I know the defensive line has been a huge emphasis. That is something that they're really working on. But there's a lot of talent, too, you know, out of this freshman class, now that sophomore class. And people need to remember that. You know, there's actually a great group of young linebackers coming up with Michael Rose, Jared, I think it's, you say it, Aphalia or
Avalava.
Yeah, exactly. Sounds like a heck of a waffle. And then, you know, and there's just a lot of good young players. And I think that Mr. Pelini and all those guys, I think what they were trying to do this year is I think they could have played some young talent. And I think they could have played them, and I think they could have contributed. But, you know, when you're sitting there and you're running that magical run and you got those six games and you just keep winning and you shouldn't be winning, you're like, hey, this is our year. It's destiny. And, you know, we're not going to burn these red shirts if we don't have to, because I'm telling you, I really think we got a pretty solid defense in a year or two with all these young kids that are coming up. But, you know, it's just an opinion. Everybody's got one, but I'd like to think mine are right.
I'm going to tell you what, Andy. I heard a few more of them last night. You know, a snowstorm brings out the – I don't know what it brings out.
Oh,
but
yeah.
It just – everybody wants to tell me and ask me, what's wrong? Why can't we fix it? Blah, blah, you know, one game. It all starts with no one should ever score 70 and 63 on you, and I get that. And Nebraska, maybe folks, now the name, and you can, anybody that follows the sites has probably seen the name Brandon Vandenberg is maybe the next tight end that Nebraska is going to try and target here.
Yeah.
John Garrison working on that.
And, you know, and you're absolutely right, and that's something too, but, you know, I've been hearing the same thing, and I know you and I, we're both on the same page in terms of what we think about Nebraska's football program and whatnot. And, you know, my thing is that it happens to great teams. It really does happen. You know, I think Mark Wright, he was the one that was speaking about it earlier in the year. They got shell-shocked by, was it South Carolina?
Yeah, thumped them, yeah.
It was like 34-7 or something like that. And, you know, and I understand 70 points, it's, you can't go ahead and let that happen. I mean, that should never happen. But I will say this, and I think Bo Pelini, and I think a lot of those coaches would admit this too. I think what happened in the Big Ten championship was we had won six games in a row. We had felt the magic. We had already gone ahead and made our reservations to the Rose Bowl. And you know, and Nebraska's not the first team to ever have that happen. I mean, look at last week in the NFL. How many teams? There was teams getting beat 34-0. I mean, how bad the Lions get beat by the Cardinals?
Yeah.
I mean, it happens even at a professional level. Now, the thing is what we really need to keep in focus is character. How can you respond from that adversity? Are you going to be the team that's going to come out and get beat by 40 points by Georgia in the bowl game? Or are you going to be a team that's going to come out and you're just going to give it all you got and go 110% and you're going to make a heck of a ball game and you might go out and win the game? That is a true testament of character right there. And you know what? And we need some momentum right now for recruiting, because I'll tell you what, if we would go out and we would get shell-shocked by Georgia, which I don't think we'll do. I know Taylor Martinez thinks Jarvis Jones is just another linebacker. I think that guy's a freaking beast. But, you know, I just think that if we can get a little bit of momentum, that's going to go a long way to finishing this class out.
Well, also yesterday, just another guy. Yeah, their defense is a lot like what we saw in the Big Ten. It won't be a problem. Yeah, there's some things we could say, but we'll have to say them off the air, what Jarvis might do to your helmet. Also, a Quincy Russell defensive tackle is going to go with one of his Trinity Valley, Texas Community College teammates and go to Oklahoma. So that's what's going on with the folks. And there's also a note out there how Tyler Moore, you know, left Nebraska, and now he officially has been able to sign with Florida. So more on that coming up in just a little bit. But folks, as we go to our first break today, want to remind you to get signed up for our Bowl Bonanza. Must be in by Saturday afternoon, first kickoff, Boise State in Washington, which is right here on ESPN Radio in the Las Vegas Bowl. Have to get that in, and you can find your entry form and send it to us via the email. All the details are there at ESPNSuperstation.com. Russell's Appliance and Electrics with our grand prize. We've got a Toshiba LED TV. We're also going to be giving away Big Daddy's Deli combo meals and more, so be getting entered. It's free. That's the best part about it. Somebody's going to win. Even if you don't think it's going to be you, somebody's going to win. One entry per person. Go to ESPNSuperstation.com. They are open at Cunningham's, folks. So go in, enjoy lunch. They're there every day of the year for you. That's what they do. They put the time in, and they make the great food. They keep the beverages cold, the coldest draft beer in town. Coldest beer in town.
That's what I've heard.
I don't even think they open the doors, but they could. They could have last night. My goodness, folks.
Their food is unbelievable. It literally is.
You can get barbecue. You can get a salad. You can get the skewers. You can get a big old pizza if you want that. Every day, a specialty burger and domestic draft is only $6.49. And with the Husker tailgate parties, great drink and food specials for game day on New Year's Day, the huge 10-foot projection screen. They've always got great entertainment every weekend as well. Didn't go out in the courtyard this week, but I guess you could if you wanted to. Cunningham's Journal and The Loft, there for you. Live entertainment, great food, and of course, a great place to watch all of your sporting events, including the NFL and the Capital One Bowl on New Year's Day. When we come back, Derek Rackley is going to join us, former Minnesota Golden Gopher, Big Ten Network analyst, right after this.
Fall is here, and for guys, that means one thing, football. Each week, nearly 12 million men settle into their favorite recliner to cheer on their favorite team. For men over 30, the inactivity creates lost muscle tone, reduced sex drive, and excess belly fat. This year, don't get sacked by the football season. Change your game plan with the help of Complete Nutrition's strongest, most potent youth energy and weight loss enhancer, the Charger Pack. With its new testosterone-infused formula, the Charger Pack delivers men over 30 the fastest, most undeniable results possible. Regain your muscle, recharge your libido, and sack stubborn belly fat with the Charger Pack, available exclusively from Complete Nutrition.
If you experience excessive weight loss in your first 10 days, please contact your Complete Nutrition consultant to adjust your plan.
Find Complete Nutrition in Grand Island just north of Gordman's off Highway 281 and in Kearney just north of SunMart on 2nd Avenue.
Complete Nutrition.
Hi, it's the Herd. Fans, the holidays are here, and there's one thing you need to avoid besides the mall parking lot on Christmas Eve. Talk about cutthroat. You want to be sure you don't have a bad gift. So give your friends and family a gift they're guaranteed to love, with a gift certificate to StubHub. That way, if your buddy's been wanting to witness an upcoming rivalry or your mom wants to see the big show, you can make that happen for him. Much better than a pair of socks or a handcrafted bird feeder. So head to StubHub today and grab a StubHub gift certificate.
StubHub! Hey, it's Greeny. Do you need last-minute gifts? Well, hurry into Lowe's for the Hitachi 18-volt cordless drill kit with flashlight. Only $79.98. That's a savings of $49. Plus, pick up some Lowe's gift cards. With no fees or expiration dates, they make the perfect last-minute stocking stuffers. Find these great gifts and many more at the Lowe's near you. Lowe's never stop improving. Offer is valid December 14th through the 24th. While supplies last, see store for details.
When it comes to Husker game day, my buddies and I head down to Cunningham's Journal, the best place to watch all your favorite sports. Have a great bite to eat, drink the coldest draft beer in town, and most importantly, watch the Husker game on the huge 10-foot projector screen. This year, every time you come for the game, you can register to win a 70-inch HD TV from Russell's Appliance and a Coors Light Super Bowl party from Cunningham's. If you win, could I come? Anyways, escape ordinary and head to Cunningham's Journal on game day, 23rd Street, downtown Kearney.
The San Diego County Credit Union Poinsettia Bowl on ESPN Radio. San Diego State and BYU were once conference rivals in the Mountain West.
Whoops over the middle, fires over the middle, that one's intercepted.
Now they go head-to-head again on San Diego State's home turf.
BYU and San Diego State in the Poinsettia Bowl, Thursday night at 6 on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
Sunny skies develop across the area today as we head up to 25 for a high. Northwest winds will stay gusty at around 15 to 25. For tonight, we can expect clear skies and a low of one above. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley. Right now, it's 23.
Doug and Danny Show, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Irish Ken doesn't even know that he's snowed in, so he went ahead and it's really dark down there in his basement. But the one thing about it is it's much brighter since his Notre Dame Fighting Irish are playing for the national title. He goes, so the Huskers have the best tight ends in the country? At this festive time of the year, I'll be charitable and just say, check out Notre Dame's tight ends, who will be a top five draft choice, number 80, and I'd have to pull that up here. Yeah. Ken, you know, I love your bias.
I do, too. I mean, that's fantastic, but I guess if you're a really big fan, you could tell me what the guy's name is, not number 80. You know, that'd be like me saying, hey, we hope we can get number 42 for the Huskers to come back so he'd play a sixth year. His name's Fisher.
Irish Ken already hates you.
Yeah. It's all right. He's an Irish fan.
888-455-ESPN, 888-455-3776. It's a hockey type of day. We'll talk with the Storm coach, Josh Howgie, coming up, answer your fantasy football questions with Luke Hoover as well. But right now, it's time to talk a little Big Ten football and a little bit about Wisconsin's new coach, a little bit about the bowl games coming up. And Derek Rackley is back with us on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Andy Griffith with you on this Thursday. Derek, great to catch up with you again. How are you?
I'm doing great, guys. Thanks for having me on once again.
Well, it's great to chat with you, and I guess let's start with the news of the day here in the Big Ten of the last couple of days. Wisconsin has made their hire and went with Gary Anderson of Utah State, who really doesn't have any direct ties to the Wisconsin program, but has done a great job in a variety of different roles at Utah, Southern Utah, Utah State. He's went all over that great state of Utah. What can you tell us about him? What do you think about the hire?
Well, I think it's, again, from the outset, it's a pretty good hire. Like most people in Big Ten country, don't really know a whole lot about him because he spent the majority of his career out on the West Coast and specifically, like you said, in Utah. But, again, I think when you talk about the type of job that he has done at Utah State, and, again, you don't look at the combined record there because a lot of times when a new coach, especially that hasn't been at a program very long, when he takes over, he's taking over a program that needs a lot of work. And so a lot of times there's, you know, a few more losses on the record than in the first year or two than you would normally think. But if you look at the resume and the type of program that he put out this year, the success that they had, and obviously a lot of Badger fans know that this is a game that Wisconsin probably should have lost earlier this season when Utah State came to town and missed that field goal at the end of the game. So You know, I think some of the interesting things coming out already is that there will be some vacancies on that staff, and that Wisconsin's going to make a heavy push to try to keep some of the guys that are currently there going to be coaching the Rose Bowl to keep them around town, because they've been really good coaches. Namely, Thomas Hammack has been a really good coach, really good recruiter for Wisconsin. I know Barry Alvarez is going to be pushing Anderson to try to keep as many of those guys that have been on the staff with them.
Yeah, now, one of the things, too, is I know with us being here in Nebraska, we had Bill Bush, who was actually a coach here, and I believe he's actually the defensive backs coach out there at Utah State. You know, do you know if he has, Gary has any ideas in terms of bringing any of his coaches with him, or do you think now that he's going to be at a larger school with more money, do you think he's going to go out and probably go ahead and try and handpick some of his assistants, or what's your kind of thought process on that?
I think it's going to be half and half. Some of the early reports that I've seen are that he does have about three or four guys in mind that he wants to bring from his staff at Utah State, maybe one guy that is at Utah that he worked with in the past. But there are also some reports that one of the coaches that's on the staff right now, their offensive coordinator, could be a candidate to take over as the head coach there, so likely he's not going to be bringing him over as well, which means that there's potentially an offensive coordinator position that's going to be open at Wisconsin. So I think it's going to be a mix. So he will bring some of his coaches with, but I don't think he's going to be able to bring the entire staff, so that he's going to have to look either outside or some of the guys, as I mentioned, that are within the program. And I think that's one of the situations where you're going to see the type of pull and influence that Barry Alvarez has. Mm-hmm. You know, I'm sure he's going to tell him that, you know, this is your decision on the coaches that you would like to bring in. But let me just tell you that a couple of the guys that we have here on the staff are pretty good coaches, and I think it would help if you kept them on staff. So it might be one of those kind of gentle nudges to keep those guys in Madison.
Talking with Derek Rackley of the Big Ten Network, of course, a University of Minnesota alum. You brought up Wisconsin Athletic Director Barry Alvarez. What's the take from you and the guys around the office about Coach Alvarez coaching this Rose Bowl game and legitimate chance that this team has against Stanford with all that's going on?
Well, I love it. I mean, you know, when I played at Minnesota, Barry Alvarez was the coach. And, you know, even though Wisconsin was my most heated rivalry, I mean, when I was at Minnesota, we were playing Wisconsin and we hated each other. That's just how the Minnesota-Wisconsin rivalry goes. But I think deep down, a lot of us had some respect for the job that Barry Alvarez had done, really turning that program around, because it's hard to realize it now, but when Alvarez took over, that was a program that was in the cellar. And now it's, you know, one of the predominant favorites in that conference. But you know, I think the situation that he was put in, where that, you know, Brett Bielema kind of unexpectedly left, and then the seniors and the leaders on the team basically said, "Hey, Barry, we want you to coach us. There's nobody, we don't want you to elevate anybody from the current staff. You've been there before. You've won the Rose Bowl. We feel the most comfortable with you leading us in this contest. And how can you turn that down?" So I think it was a great decision by him. Yes, he's been out of that realm for quite some time. But, you know, with a coach that's had as much success as he has, I'm sure there's not going to be a whole lot that's going to be rusty. You know, he'll make the big-time decisions on game day, but as far as knowing how that process works, the Rose Bowl, the media obligations, and everything that's placed on their shoulders, I don't think there's anybody better than Barry Alvarez.
Doug Duda, Andy Griffith with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show, talking with Derek Rackley, Big Ten Network. When the first spreads came out, the first look at all of these Big Ten matchups, every one of the seven are underdogs, and I quickly tried to point out, you know what, we're missing a Penn State and an Ohio State who should be in bowl games, and maybe they would have been underdogs, but it also would have dropped all of these Big Ten teams, maybe except Nebraska. Penn State might have been behind them, might have dropped them all a notch to play different competition. So if the Big Ten does get beat up in the bowls, they're supposed to, I mean, not beat by 30 points, but they're supposed to, and they'll take a shot for that. Where do you see, now that we've had some time to maybe look at and break down some of the matchups, where does the Big Ten have their best chance of picking up a couple of bowl wins?
Well, I had said, you know, after I saw all the matchups and had a chance to digest it a little bit, and I still think the same way. I think Northwestern Mississippi State is going to be one of the best matchups that we have, because you look at Northwestern and the type of offense that they play, they've got a lot of seniors on their team, and they finished their season on a high note. I actually did their last game against Illinois. I understand, albeit Illinois, but they looked really impressive, and they've really had a lot of their guys that they needed to step up and play well this year have done just that. I mean, Venrick Mark, in my opinion, is one of the best surprises in the entire conference this year, what he's been able to do, not only in the running back position, but we knew how dangerous he was in the return game. And then Kane Coulter, just his versatility, I think, is just a nightmare for a defense. I mean, how do you defend him when he might come out of the game, and then the next time he comes back on the field, he might line up in the slot, and then all of a sudden he's going to take a shotgun snap and he's going to run zone read against you, and he's very dangerous. And then you flip it over and look at Mississippi State, and they kind of struggled down the stretch. They had the toughest part of their schedule was towards the back end of their season, and they really struggled in those games. So they might be somewhat questioning that fast start that they got off to, and they lost quite a few games down the end of the road. And then, you know, we did just talk about Wisconsin and the Rose Bowl. I mean, I think that matchup is going to be extremely tough, but it's going to be strength on strength. I mean, you're looking at a Wisconsin running game, which we know is could be one of the most dominant in the country at times, like they showed us in the Big Ten Championship game, against the number three rush defense in Stanford. I think it's going to be a great matchup. Obviously, Wisconsin has experience being there the last couple of years. Maybe don't have the same type of dynamic at the quarterback position, but that's the other one that's a little bit of a wild card. Some people think Stanford's a heavy favorite. I think Wisconsin could make that game interesting.
Yeah, Wisconsin, boy, those Rascals got hard to tackle towards the end of the year, didn't they, Derek?
Well, I mean, yeah, I've told a lot of people that Big Ten championship game might have been some of the best play calling that I've seen in a long time. I don't want to go as far as saying ever, but Matt Canada, what he and Brett Bielema and his staff, they dialed up for Nebraska. I mean, it was just impressive the way that they kept Nebraska on their heels that entire ball game.
Well, obviously the fans here at Nebraska are on the wrong side of that, and there has been, well, we talked about it before we had you on here, Derek. We've talked about it. People keep bringing it up, whether we're on the air or off the air, and it seems like it's the 70 that bothers Nebraska fans more than anything, and immediately are down on this football team. Where do you see Nebraska at right now?
You know, it's interesting because I actually live down in the southeast. I live in Atlanta, Georgia, and I also do some work on for the SEC conference on a couple of television shows. And we were breaking down the Georgia-Nebraska game, and you know, everybody was talking about how good Georgia is. And it was just kind of like the feeling of the conversation. You got the sense that Georgia should just beat the you-know-what out of Nebraska. But then I chimed back in and I said, yes, I'm a little bit biased here because I work for the Big Ten Network. But the last thing that we saw in Nebraska was not very good. But let me tell you that this is a very veteran and senior-laden team, and that they have shown many times this year that they can be explosive, as one of the more explosive offenses in the entire country. Did they get outplayed in the Big Ten Championship game? Absolutely. I don't think anybody on that team or on that staff would disagree with that. But if Nebraska comes out, they don't turn the football over early, and their defense comes out with some swagger, which we didn't see against Wisconsin, this can be a very good Nebraska team. And I know for Nebraska fans, it's not very easy to think that way because of the last taste that's in your mouth, but I don't feel like this game could be a wipeout like a lot of people are thinking, especially if Georgia, there's any hangover, the fact that they should be playing in the national championship or not. If Nebraska comes to play, this could end up being a very close ball game.
Hey, Derek, Andy Griffith here, and I just had a quick question for you also, kind of along those same lines. I was actually at the Capital Bowl one game last year, and do you think is that truly an advantage for a team that already played a powerhouse team last year in the bowl game, you know, South Carolina, being back to the same bowl, same schedule and everything? You know, I never played on that level or anything. So is that truly an advantage in that situation?
Well, you know, I would like to say yes. And if you paid attention to a lot of the conversation that was going on with Wisconsin around the Big Ten Championship, that was one of the things that a lot of people went to, the fact that they had been there recently, okay? Mm-hmm. And it's the same thing you talk about them going in the Rose Bowl, and you could make the same comparison. Nebraska now playing in the Capital One Bowl, they've got the familiarity, the guys have been down there before. It's not going to be as new and as interesting, if you will. It's not going to really be as impressive to all the players, maybe as a first-time experience. So now you think that they're going to come down, especially how their last performance on the field went, and have a much more business-like atmosphere, attitude into this ball game. And I think if you turn on the film and watch Georgia play, especially defensively, Nebraska's going to have that business-like attitude because they're one of the best teams in the country. And if you don't come out and give everything you have, the game could get lopsided, especially the way that their quarterback, Aaron Murray, has really played better towards the second half of the season. They can really make it lopsided. So Nebraska's going to have to come to play. I think there will be some familiarity that they were there last year, and I think they know that you cannot take any SEC opponent lightly, especially one that was about 5 yards away from playing in the national championship.
Just a minute left here with Derek Rackley from the Big Ten Network, played for the Minnesota Golden Gophers. We had him on before and played tight end, was a long snapper. We asked about long snap recruits and because Nebraska has offered, and we're in that tough recruiting portion of the season where kids are making some signings. JUCOs, for the most part, did it yesterday. But also, Derek, someone sent me a preseason top 25 for next year already. It's nationalchamps.net. They're trying to project the preseason top 25. They've got Ohio State 9th. They've got Wisconsin 18th, Nebraska 20th, Michigan State 22nd. They didn't have Michigan in there at all in their top 25. What's the storyline we need to be looking for in the offseason between the bowl games and spring ball?
Well, I definitely think it surrounds Ohio State because, you know, we talked about these sanctions, and we talked about the fact that Ohio State and Penn State were not eligible for the bowl season, and it really kind of clouds the year for the Big Ten, because if you look at Ohio State and Penn State, if those two teams get into the bowl game, now you're adding two teams that had a combined 20-4 record to the resume for the Big Ten, and it potentially looks a lot better, especially an undefeated Ohio State team. I think you got to keep your eye on the Buckeyes, because they're going to obviously return Braxton Miller. The biggest question mark will be on the defensive line, because you saw a bunch of seniors are leaving, and then Jonathan Hankins came out and said that he's likely going to go early to the NFL, and rightfully he should. He's going to be a top 10 or 15 pick, so I don't have any disagreement with that. And we knew that one of the somewhat weaknesses of Ohio State this year was their defensive play. It was not the same defense that Buckeye fans have gotten used to seeing on the field. And now they're going to have to replace all four guys up front. They will get some linebackers back. They will likely get some secondary back, assuming Bradley Roby doesn't bolt for the NFL. But what type of defensive line? We saw Urban Meyer brought in some big-time recruits. They were freshmen. They got some play this year. Adolphus Washington, Noah Spence, Tommy Shutt. Will those guys elevate their play and be able to fill in like we've seen so many stellar defensive linemen from Ohio State? That's going to be the biggest story for the Buckeyes. They're going to have the explosiveness on offense, year two in that system, Braxton Miller, the excitement that he showed us this year, but will they be able to slow people down on defense, especially with that defensive front?
Great information, as always, when we talk to our gang from the Big Ten Network, and Derek Rackley, one of the analysts, former Falcon and Seahawk, and of course, Minnesota Golden Gopher. You got your Christmas shopping done?
A little bit. I'm, you know, one of those guys that does a lot of stuff on the internet, and I'll go pick up a last couple of things, but I'm almost done. I appreciate you asking, though.
Hey, buddy. Have a great Christmas, and we always like chatting with you. We'll do it again soon.
Okay, you guys as well. Take care.
Take care. Derek Rackley joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show on ESPN Radio. Doug Duda, Andy Griffith with you on today's program. Everybody's picking that Northwestern game as an upset, and I think they all are waiting to see what Nebraska will do. This response, and Bo has been talking about it here in the interim between the bowl game and between the championship game, it's about how we respond. Nebraska kids also have to want to be there. That's the key. That's tough. I still don't know. Everybody's talking about Georgia not getting to the championship game. Nebraska's not getting to the Rose Bowl. All their goals and dreams shot. They can give me this 11th win thing. Well, we'll know afterwards.
I guess my only thing is, you know, I'd like to think I was competitive, and I'd like to think that, I guess, every time I stepped on a football field, or every time that you talk to a lot of these kids that are successful, they want to play the best competition out there. And, you know, and here's the deal. I mean, okay, I understand that's cool, the Rose Bowl, you know, but let's be honest. You guys already played there once this year. You know, you guys already played UCLA there. You guys already played in that stadium. And I understand the festivities around the Rose Bowl. That's a big deal. But here's the deal. You got an opportunity to go play the number 5 team in America that probably could be in the national championship if they would have got 4 more yards. Yeah. You know, if you truly want to play football, here's your opportunity. You know, if you want to get down there and you want to go bang some helmets around and you want to go play one of the best teams in America – there's your opportunity. And I guess I just hope that the kids from Nebraska are looking at that from that vantage point. Who cares if it's not the Rose Bowl? Who cares if you're not in California? You got an opportunity to go down and beat an SEC opponent. And, you know, the SEC is a dominant conference, but there is nothing that would make me – I mean, you know, if somebody said, well, if you guys – would you rather win the Rose Bowl and beat Stanford, or would you rather win the Capital One Bowl and beat Georgia in the SEC? It would probably be very hard for me to answer that with Stanford.
Well, I'd say Rose Bowl, because it is the Rose
Yes.
Bowl, and that's the perception.
Yes.
But nobody even wants to think that the scenario is possible that Nebraska can beat Georgia and Wisconsin beat Stanford, and then where does that put you? That puts you two pretty darn good football
Absolutely.
Teams that just happen to have a lopsided Big Ten championship. Folks, all of our guests on the Doug and Daddy Show, taken care of by our friends at BK, Lexington, Cozad, North Platte, and two locations in Kearney. Stop by while you're out busy trying to finish up your Christmas shopping and enjoy a quick treat or lunch at BK. Two locations in Kearney. We go to the Dent Popper inbox here. Andy Griffith, your co-host, he does a radio show too. Shouldn't he be keeping the streets of Mayberry safe for its citizens? Tell him to get his priorities straight. Did I even try to get Opie as a co-host today? Thank you, Lumpy, for the email today.
Wonderful. Yes.
Do you have an Opie out there?
No, I just have a very sick group of parents that decide to... No, the story behind the name... My name is actually Andrew Griffith. My great-grandfather was Andy Griffith, and then my grandfather was William Griffith, and so I'm actually Andrew William Griffith. But about 10 years ago when I got into sales, I was interviewing with this guy, and I was talking, and he goes, just stop. And I was like, what? He goes, I'll hire you, but you have to go by Andy Griffith. And I was like, what do you mean? He said, with a name like Andy Griffith being in sales, you've got to run with that. So for the last decade, I've been Andy Griffith. So,
yeah, that's right. That's why you can't find all of his public records. So we'll be back with more. Josh Howgie will join us, Tri-City Storm hockey coach, and get your fantasy football questions in. Email, Facebook, and for Luke Hoover of RotoWire. We'll be right back.
December is Customer Appreciation Month at Subway Restaurants, so we're thanking our customers for being such big fans with $2 6-inch subs, the Cold Cut Combo or Meatball Marinara. That's right. The crowd-pleasing Cold Cut Combo or Meatball Marinara are $2 each for a 6-inch sub, only in December. Appreciation tastes amazing, so get these two subs made fresh for you for $2 each. Saying thanks is a great deal, so hurry in. Subway, eat fresh.
Prices and participation may vary. Limited time only, plus tax were applicable. Prices higher and less than Hawaii. Additional charges for extras.
Hey, it's Greeny. Do you need last-minute gifts? Well, hurry into Lowe's for the Hitachi 18-volt cordless drill kit with flashlight. Only $79.98. That's a savings of $49. Plus, pick up some Lowe's gift cards. With no fees or expiration dates, they make the perfect last-minute stocking stuffers. Find these great gifts and many more at the Lowe's near you. Lowe's never stop improving. Offer is valid December 14th through the 24th. While supplies last, see...
ESPN Radio Superstation 1460 and 1550 Weather Eye Weather is brought to you by Farm Bureau Insurance agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers on North 2nd Avenue in Kearney. Farm Bureau agents Rich Peters and Matt Myers in Kearney know health insurance. As independent and authorized producers of Blue Cross Blue Shield of Nebraska, independent licensees of the Blue Cross Blue Shield Association, Rich Peters and Matt Myers will work with you to make sure you have health insurance coverage that fits your needs. Their approach is simple. They listen. And will tailor a policy that'll work within your budget. When you need health insurance, just call Rich Peters and Matt Myers, your local Farm Bureau agents. Farm Bureau Property and Casualty Insurance Company. Western Agricultural Insurance Company. Securities and services offered through FBL Marketing Services, LLC. Affiliate, Farm Bureau Financial Services.
Sunny skies develop across the area today as we head up to 25 for a high. Northwest winds will stay gusty at around 15 to 25. For tonight, we can expect clear skies and a low of 1 above. I'm meteorologist Paul Frobley.
Right now, it's 23.
I'll have a blue Christmas without you.
Oh, I love this. You got to keep this up, Jeffrey. This is a guilty pleasure right here. It's Porky Pig Christmas.
Oh, this is classic.
This is good stuff. It's 2 minutes, and I'm tempted to play the whole darn thing. It's better than the old Matt and Doug gig.
This is pretty classy.
Oh, wait. Wait till it gets to the instrumental. This is just a couple of guys messing around in a studio. Because you can hear them laughing. Oh, Doug and Daddy Show. It is Doug Duda, Andy Griffith with you here on the Doug and Daddy Show on Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation. Going to talk some hockey with Coach Josh Howgie here in just a moment. They're on the road. On the road for a couple of games, Friday and Saturday. You can hear it on the Breeze, 94.5 FM, both Friday and Saturday. So keep it here for Tri-City Storm Hockey. And Luke Hoover is going to join us in just a moment to talk fantasy football. So stay with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Now, here's the big finish, guys. Here's the big finish from Porky Pig. Play that kazoo. All right, that's enough. Josh Howgie, Tri-City Storm hockey coach, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Merry Christmas, Coach. How are you?
Merry Christmas to you. Doing well.
You got all the we ask our guests, of course, this week. You got all the shopping done?
No, we'll take care of that on after Saturday night game. Sunday will be a big shopping day for me.
You're not one of those guys like the bus has to pull over and stop a couple of times on the way up. You grab a couple of things in the convenience store or wherever you stop, and those are good Christmas presents?
Not quite that, but we'll be scrambling on Sunday, that's for sure.
It is incredible. Incredible. A lot of things to talk about, or at least a few new things to talk about with the Tri-City Storm. As they hit the road, they finished up the four-game homestand. Let's talk about that, Coach. It was, again, sometimes you came out powerful offensively. Sometimes the puck doesn't go in the net. How did you think the team played the last two weekends?
Yeah, I think we've been playing all right. I mean, there's been some very, very encouraging things. Like, we're getting a lot more scoring from a lot of different guys, where early in the season it was just the one or two guys that were putting the puck in the net. Our young guys are slowly developing, and we're not where we want to be right now, but we're in striking distance. So I think that, you know, for a young team that's had a lot of injuries, the first half has been all right.
Coach, where are you seeing it? And I talked about this, I think it was probably last week. I said, you know what, this team is splitting, or they get on a little mini winning streak, and I think I compared you to the Royals or the Husker basketball team, and I mean the Storm organization, is that there is always that spot where they get three, four, five games where they can't get a win, and then they have to put together a winning streak just to get back to 500. But getting into the holiday break at 500, are you satisfied with being at that point?
Well, I definitely don't think so, but you know, with the fully dug ourselves early, I think that you gotta be realistic and say, you know what, we'll take it. And if you know, again, we're 7 points out of first place right now, and that's really two weekends of good hockey to put yourself in a spot to be at the top of the division. And again, that's, you know, where we're trying to take this to. And you know, we dug ourselves that hole, but we're working our way out.
Hey, Coach, Andy Griffith here, and just had a couple quick questions for you. Now, I know you're heading north, and I'm sure that's always a scary time of the year when you start heading north, because there's some pretty good hockey up there. What's your gut feeling? I mean, how do you guys think you're going to fare this weekend? I know they're not home games, but, you know, for all those avid Tri-City Storm hockey fans out there, you know, what do you think's going to happen?
Well, I mean, these are two teams for us we haven't had a whole lot of success with. I mean, we've struggled against Sioux Falls for whatever reason. I feel like we're a more talented team than them, and they're at the top of the West. They're in first place right now, but we've got outworked by them. And for us, that's not, you know, one of our core values as a hockey team is we're going to outwork our opponent every night, and they've outworked us three out of the four nights, and that's why they're 3-1 against us. So for us, that'll be a good test, because if we work hard, we'll beat them, because, again, I feel we're a more talented team than them. With Fargo, we're facing a team that, you know, we haven't beat yet this season. But, again, every game has been close. And, you know, we just got to put a solid 60 minutes together. And we haven't done that against those two teams. So, you know, give those teams both credit. they've done a lot of good things to shut us down, but they're teams we should be beating, and that's why we're in the spot we are right now, is at that 500 mark. We haven't been consistent enough, and we haven't been good enough every night to be where we want to be. I think we're taking steps, and, you know, these are very, very winnable games for us on the road.
Talking with Josh Howji, head coach of the Tri-City Storm, here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Andy Griffith with you on this Thursday. Coach, we've also something else we've talked about for a number of years on this show, especially the last 3 or 4 years, is the number of moves the team made before this time of the year, and those look like they are severely down this year. What do you credit that to?
Well, I believe in this team. I think we believe in what we're trying to do here, and, you know, we have a good group of kids, and they're doing things the right way, and we've made a commitment to them. If they come here, work hard, and do things the right way, they're going to be here, and we're going to be loyal to our guys, and that's where we're at in this organization, and that's the stand we're trying to make. And you look at where these kids are committed to go play college hockey, like, they're all good players. It's just whether or not they come in here and work hard and do things right and buy into what we're trying to do, and this group is doing it. So I believe this group will get us into the playoffs. I believe they'll go on a nice little run here, and that, you know, this will be, you know, a long hockey season.
Coach, if it just appears to me that this break, because of Christmas falling on a Tuesday, the league obviously still wants to get both weekends in, and there's not maybe as long a break between for the holidays for these kids to go home or do what it is they do. So is there any worry? I mean, you don't have to really worry about any momentum or continuity being broke by this break, do you?
No, I mean, to be quite honest with you, it's embarrassing that the league is doing this to these kids. They work so hard. They play 64 games, and they get a four-day break. I mean, just to be quite blunt, it's, you know, these kids deserve some time off, but they're not going to get it. So we've tried to do some things in practice to, you know, at least make it fun and make sure that they're enjoying their time, because this is a long season, and when you get days off, they're important, and these kids need them.
Well, the USHL, as it is, you know, for these kids to get to the next level, it's also for some of these administrators to get future jobs with the NCAA, apparently. So, Josh Howji with insane decisions. Finally, kids, speaking of college, some of them have committed. Your captain is committed. Are you satisfied? That's supposed to be one of the core values of the USHL, is to get these kids into college, and it looks like the Storm is continuing to do that.
Yeah, you know Brian Ward getting his commitment to St. Lawrence, and, you know, Timmy Lappin getting his to Brown. I mean, they're going to high-end academic schools where they can go and make a difference right away as hockey players, and you know, most importantly, be, you know, better individuals from coming through this program, and that's what we're trying to do here, is, you know, get these kids upward to college hockey and hopefully professional someday. And you know, the other side of it too, some of our affiliates for us have just committed, which, you know, is exciting. We got a Tommy Vanelli who just committed to the University of Minnesota, who will be here next year, and then actually yesterday a young man named Austin Polganski just committed to the University of North Dakota. So the talent that's coming in that we have in our pipeline is improving every day, and the guys that are here are doing a great job. We will be announcing, this is kind of big news for us, we did sign a tender that hasn't been released yet, but we signed a top 97, we feel like the top 5 prospect in the U.S., and that announcement will be within the next 10 days.
Outstanding. We look forward to talking about it. And Josh, we'll let you get back to work, because I know it's time to head out and play a couple of hockey games this weekend. Best of luck, and Merry Christmas. We'll talk to you again soon.
Sounds good. Merry Christmas to you guys as well.
Take care. Josh Howji, head coach of the Tri-City Storm. Doug Duda, Andy Griffith on the Doug and Daddy Show here on ESPN Radio. My point, as far as that record, you know, heck yeah, you always want to be 22-3 or whatever it comes out to be, but they just haven't. They're always trying to catch up, and it's not always the same group of kids, but at this time, they're, what is it, 12 years of the Storm? Yeah. I'll bet 10 times they've been below 500 at this point in the season.
Yeah, you know, and I think it is. You know, it's got to be a turning point right now. I mean, you know, if you're 12-12 right now, you know, with a couple of ties and all that good jazz, you know, you've got to kind of decide, you know, at what point, you know what, do we want to be a winning organization? You know, at what point do the kids understand that winning is the first and foremost thing that this organization needs? And it's tough to teach winning, you know. It's just like, you know, basketball. You can't teach height, you know. You can't teach size, you know. And it's really tough to teach winning. And basically, it's just getting these kids in a groove. And, you know, from everything that I've seen and everything that I've listened to, we got a lot of avid hockey fans at Midway. So there's a lot of the people live up in the box up there. But it is. It's fun to see. And I think these kids are starting to understand the balance of, you know, good teamwork and, you know, being an individual and doing your job and just getting that winning sensation back.
Well, don't forget, folks, getting out, making some of those last-minute gift ideas, or you've got it all done, congratulations. Relax with something for yourself. The holidays make things better for you with new furniture from Bruce Furniture, Kearney, Hastings, Holdridge, and Alliance, the most inexpensive way to remodel your home. The more you're indoors over the winter means the more you see how some of your furniture might need to be replaced and updated. So check them out at Bruce Furniture. BruceFurniture.com is there for you. Got them on Facebook. They'll bring the furniture into your home, apartment, wherever for free. They'll take the old stuff out, take it wherever you need it. They have the just right for you in-home guarantee. If it isn't right, they'll take it back and they'll get you something that is. It is all there for you, taking care of the customers. Number one on their priority list at Bruce Furniture, Hastings, Kearney, Holdridge, and Alliance. Get your fantasy football questions in. Luke Hoover joins us next.
Are you looking for affordable, high-speed internet? Then Arcom has the service you're looking for. Whether you're in town or rural, Arcom can offer you high-speed internet for only $25 a month. That's right, just $25 a month. Get all your online needs met before the Christmas rush. Don't wait. Call today, 308-237-7266. That's Arcom for just $25 a month. Call today and get free installation. Arcom, 308-237-7266. Call now.
Progressive presents Flo's newest smash hit. The Name Your Price tool gives you lots of coverage options.
The Name Your Price tool. You give us a budget and we'll show you a range of coverage options. But we can't go over all the dessert options. Your server will be back in just a second and he'll explain.
The Name Your Price tool, only from Progressive. Visit Progressive.com today.
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
This is a 600-ton ore hauler. Miners use it to move 400 tons of earth in extreme conditions. Okay, got it. Now this is your car. You use it to move 180 pounds of you. Okay. And this is Peak Antifreeze. Peak Antifreeze's unique formula helps protect your engine from costly repairs. So you can protect your ride, no matter what you drive.
Peak Antifreeze. When you peak, you win.
Available at...
When you need comfort and guidance the most, it's reassuring to know our family at Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services is at hand. With our experience, compassionate care, and trusted facility, we are available to serve your family in any way possible. If you are in need of a helping hand, contact Horner, Liskey, McBride, and Kuehl Funeral and Cremation Services in Kearney at 237-2259, where our family is dedicated to honoring your family for generations.
Come on in, let the games begin.
Hi, this is Jeremy from HK Sports Bar and Grill. I want to tell you about some exciting menu changes starting this month. From gourmet burgers and eight flavors of real New York-style buffalo wings to prime Nebraska beef and barbecue brisket smoked in-house. I also want to remind you, we have the perfect spot for private dining. So whether it's Tommy's birthday party, Sally's going away party, your company Christmas party, or you just want to bring the gang from work down for a drink.
Come on in, let the games begin.
More exciting high school basketball action comes your way before the first of the year on our network of stations and the World Wide Web at PlatteRiverPreps.com. On Friday night, the Hastings St. Cecilia Bluehawks will travel to Sandy Creek. You'll be able to hear the doubleheader beginning at 6 o'clock on 1230 AM KHAS. And then on the 27th and 28th, the Ravenna Holiday Tournament. The 28th and 29th, the Amherst Holiday Tournament here on ESPN Radio and Classic Hits. But Friday night, St. Cecilia at Sandy Creek on 1230 KHAS.
Sunny skies develop across the area today as we head up to 25 for a high. Northwest winds will stay gusty at around 15 to 25. For tonight, we can expect clear skies and a low of 1 above. I'm meteorologist Paul Trombley.
Right now, it's 23.
Seriously, does this make you think more about Christmas or Die Hard?
Oh, man, it's kind of getting a little hip in here. I mean, I'm liking it.
Doug and Daddy Show. Doug Duda, Andy Griffith with you. What's going on at Midway? I mean, again, that's not the reason we have you in here, but that is your day job.
Yeah, you know, there's a lot of great stuff going on right now on the General Motors side at the Midway Chevrolet Buick Cadillac location. The big thing everybody's been hearing about is why you should buy a 2013 over a 2012. And folks, it's pretty black and white. There's only $1,000 difference in a 1LT All-Star package Chevrolet Silverado 1500 crew cab. So you're talking about being able to buy a 2013 for about $1,000 more than a 2012. Folks, if you sit down and you think about trade-in value and you weigh everything out, it makes a heck of a lot of sense to buy a new truck than essentially a truck that's been sitting there for a year. And then at the Midway Jeep Chrysler Dodge Ram facilities, I'll tell you what, we are selling out of them. I wish I had another 30 of them, but we actually have 2012 Ram 3/4 ton and 1 ton urea-free diesels. Folks, lower maintenance costs, just less things to deal with, and you're talking about getting that big, beefy, meaty sound of that diesel truck. Dodge, the Ram, that is the last manufacturer that has the urea-free diesels. Folks, they're running out. You need to get some. And then also minivans. You know, a lot of people forget this, and, you know, I don't have a family. I have my mom and my father and my brother and sister, but I don't have any kids or anything. But minivans, you know, minivans are actually very practical. You know, you don't have to pay $40,000, $50,000, $60,000 to get a well-equipped minivan. You're going to get better fuel efficiency than an SUV, and you're going to have more space. And it's actually pretty darn convenient. Nice thing about that is Chrysler and Dodge, basically the last two domestic manufacturers that are still making minivans. So if you want to go ahead and keep your money local, if you want to go ahead and support the economy, you need that minivan. Hey, we got all the solutions that you could possibly need at Midway Auto Dealerships. And if you can't make it there, just visit us at thinkmidway.com.
And I've been doing it because, as I told you, it's that time. It's also that time to talk fantasy football because a lot of folks are in their championship round of the playoffs, and I am not. I'm still alive in a league, but it goes 17 weeks, and I got beat out by 1 point last week, Luke Hoover of RotoWire, and it has nothing to do with Luke's advice, because who would have thought Stephen Ridley would have got 2 points and Jamal Charles 5 in a PPR league? But that's the way it goes. Luke, how are you today?
Doing well, yeah. That's a tough one to have those two guys going in the same week.
I'll ask you off the top here, because we do have some questions, quite a few actually, that we want to get to. Some leagues, you're not supposed to be able to pick anybody up at this time of the year. Some you are. You've got those teams that might be. I'm not hearing as much this year about teams resting people because nobody's really wrapped anything up yet. Is there anything we need to be aware of?
Well, no, I don't really see anybody who's going to be resting their starters. But if your league does go into week 17, there is a possibility that maybe a team like Atlanta, who could clinch the number one overall seed in the NFC this week, maybe they rest somebody. Roddy White's been dealing with an injury, and perhaps he sits down. He was limited this last week, so he wasn't all that valuable to you anyhow. But it's possible a team like that could put a couple starters down next week for rest. But I don't really see anybody doing that, especially after we saw what happened to Green Bay last year. They rested Aaron Rodgers, and the whole team, and himself included, didn't look particularly sharp in that playoff game.
All right, let's get into the listeners' questions here. First off, from Jason, he has a couple. Would you go with Cecil Shorts or White? And I guess then we'll go into a flex. Shorts or White? Cecil or Roddy, I'm guessing.
Yeah, you know what? I definitely prefer Shorts to Roddy White, something I never would have thought I'd be saying before the season. But Roddy White, like I said just a minute ago, he's dealing with that nagging knee injury, and he's they don't need to get him too involved. Detroit's not playing great. Harry Douglas played well last week. Cecil Shorts is the number one for Jacksonville. They're going to be throwing a lot versus the Patriots, so I like Shorts.
So you've got White on the bench at the moment, so then he has a flex. Who would you start, White, Ballard, or McCoy?
Ballard's probably the better play of those three to me. He had a really nice game last week against a tough Houston defense, averaged over 5 yards a carry. They're playing the Chiefs in a game where he might be running the clock out since, from the second quarter on.
All right, Jack's got a question. Who are you going with, Cam Newton or Russell Wilson?
Definitely Cam. I mean, I like Wilson probably more than most this week, given his matchup with the 49ers. I just think he is that talented that he can still have a good game in spite of the tough defense. But Cam is on fire lately. He's gotten two scores, and I want to say about 4 or 5 straight games, throwing the ball, hasn't thrown an interception in 4 weeks. He's definitely a guy, it's hard to put on the bench over just about any quarterback.
Luke Hoover of RotoWire, RotoWire.com, joining us here on the Doug and Daddy Show. Terrence chimes in, says Reggie Wayne or Thomas from Denver this week?
You know, that's a close one. It's a bit of a coin flip to me because, you know, both of them have matchups where they're probably going to be wind up, you know, being comfortable leads for their teams and not have to throw the ball too often. I would give a slight edge to Reggie Wayne, though, because Demaryius Thomas is probably going to draw Joe Hayden, one of the top cover corners in the league.
Do you figure in the weather, Luke? Because I'm looking at what we're looking at outside our window here in Kearney, Nebraska, and I know that it won't maybe be storming in Kansas City, but it's going to be cold, and boy, Andrew Luck hasn't had to play a lot of cold games.
Yeah, you know what? That is something to consider, and I'm not a huge fan of Luck this week, primarily because of, as I said, I don't think that's going to be a particularly close game. I mean, even Carson Palmer didn't have to throw it too much on the Chiefs last week. You know, the Raiders of all teams shut them out. So I don't know that the weather will be so much of a factor as the matchup itself. You know, Luck's a big, strong quarterback. I think he can play in just about any condition.
All right, we got one from Chris from Lawrence, and he's asking, Russell Wilson or Peyton Manning?
I would probably still play Peyton, even though, as I said, I don't think it'll, you know, he'll have to throw it too much in that game. It is a, you know, there's always the possibility that they get the lead by him throwing two or even three scores in the first half and, you know, resting him most of the rest of the way. But Wilson, I like him, and I think he's going to be have to throw it a fair amount in that game to, you know, to edge the 49ers out. But at the same time, he's probably not going to have quite as much success as Peyton.
Luke Hoover with us here on the Doug and Daddy Show, as he's been doing all year, answering your fantasy football questions. This one says, I've been using the Seattle defense all year with good results, but am worried about their matchup this week, which, of course, is the 49ers. Would you think about picking up the Patriots or even using the Colts?
It's hard to bench a defense that's played as well as Seattle's, and in particular, they're very, very strong at home. That said, I would have no problem playing the Patriots against the Jaguars. You know, the Colts is a nice matchup as well. The Chiefs have even less offense than the Jaguars, but at the same time, they don't, you know, create the turnovers or get up to the quarterback the way the Patriots do.
Luke, who's the worst team in the NFL? That's a question from me.
Well, you know what? Until last week, I might have actually said the Cardinals, but it's kind of hard to not say Kansas City right now.
Tough.
You know, certainly the Jets put their bid in last week as well, but at the same time, if they can manage to actually pull out two more wins, they're going to be a 500 team. The Chiefs are sitting at 2-14 probably when it's all said and done.
Oh, there's some brutality out there, as there is every week. Usually on Thursday, Spencer's in with us as the co-host, but not today. He does leave a question for you, though. He needs to sit one of these wide receivers, Roddy White, Reggie Wayne, Hakeem Nicks.
Oh, you know what? I could definitely see that being a tough one for him this week because there's kind of they're kind of all on even ground, but I would probably put White down because of the injury, and you just don't know how much he'll be involved. He only had about 20 yards last week because of it, and I don't think Detroit's going to be too much competition for Atlanta. Julio Jones, you know, certainly could step in and fill in White for White's shoes. Wayne and Knicks are going to be needed.
And then in a different league here, there's five choices, and he needs to sit two of these five. Crabtree, Bolden, Cobb, Hakeem Nicks, and Cecil Shorts.
If I'm just picking the guys to sit, I'm going to say Bolden for sure. And I wouldn't bench Cobb, you know, although I could see that Packers game potentially being pretty one-sided, not, you know, Green Bay not throwing it a ton. But I'd go with Cobb. I like Cecil Shorts. You know, when he's played, he's been just so consistent since the midpoint of the season. And I'd actually give a slight edge to Crabtree over Hakeem Nicks. You know, he's just played considerably better than Nicks has this year. Nicks is still dealing with lingering injuries.
RG3, you just kind of wait and see if he's – you assume he's going to start then?
It sounds like he's going to start. And, you know, unless he has a setback in practice these next couple days, I think they will go back to him. You know, again, though, they might not make a formal announcement until right before kickoff, in which case you just kind of wait and see and have a backup ready if – if for any reason, you know, maybe even in warm-ups he's not feeling great and they decide to sit him, because Cousins can certainly step in and win that game. But if he's active, I'm playing RG3.
Sounds good. Mm-hmm. Anything else, Andy? Got them all knocked out today?
Yeah, absolutely.
Hey, Luke, Merry Christmas. We'll catch up with you again next Thursday, because I know folks will be getting ready for the NFL, and I'm in a league that goes all 17 weeks, so we'll have more questions for you.
Sounds great. You guys have a good holiday.
Take care. You too. That is Luke Hoover with us every week, every Thursday. You can also check him out online at rotowire.com. Folks, don't forget, when you're out there filling out your bowl bracket at ESPNSuperstation.com for the Bowl Bonanza, and sponsored by Russell's and Big Daddy's Deli, then you can also vote on our poll question. Yesterday, is Utah State coach Gary Anderson the right coach for Wisconsin? What do you think, Annie?
Hey, you know, it's kind of funny because I watched that whole game, and I'm sure if anybody listened the last time I was on here, I talked about that. It was I was in Vegas, and I'm not saying that there was money riding on it, but I'm not saying there wasn't. And you know, it is. I think that's such a commitment. You know, when you're that mid-level program, and you know you've taken and done Utah State, what he's done for them this year, top 25 ball club. I mean, you're taking a huge leap of faith. You know, you're basically just putting all your chips in, and you know, I guess anybody that can go ahead and make Utah State a top 25 program, they probably got something going on. So, I mean, right now, I mean, with the way that Brett went ahead and left them and kind of dogged them a little bit, it's very understandable. There wasn't a lot of top-notch coaches out there, so hopefully this guy works out for him. This isn't the same Gary Anderson that was the kicker, right?
No, this is different. I see Alvarez doing a Tom Osborne. He's bringing in a coach, but he's kind of guiding the coach where he wants him to be.
Yeah.
60% of the listeners said no, he's not the right hire. So we'll find out, what is the biggest outside factor in a perceived franchise quarterback struggle like the Jets have going on? Supporting cast, the coaching staff, the front office, or the fan and the media pressure? What's the one that really stirs the pot there, Andy?
A franchise, they don't have one. I mean, I guess I don't understand the question.
Starter, a perceived franchise quarterback.
You know, I mean, I think they, you know what, I was listening to your guys as well. I was listening to Sports Talk Radio, and somebody made a pretty interesting comment, and I actually agreed with it. Don't be surprised if you see Michael Vick in New York next year.
Why?
You know, and I agree with you, but nah. Realistically, is there going to be any great quarterbacks out there? We both agree the draft is going to be terrible this year for quarterbacks coming out. I mean, you know, I don't know. I mean, spice it up a little bit. We'll see.
Keep Tebow and bring in Vic. A couple of lefties. Anyway, you can vote at ESPNSuperstation.com. What is the biggest outside factor in that struggle? You know what? If you were talking New York, I think it's the fans and the media, if you're talking New York. If you're talking Kansas City, I don't know, pick another place where they're struggling heavily. I mean, maybe Oakland, where Carson Palmer's having problems. I would say a lot of that has to do with the supporting cast.
I would say, in my honest opinion, it's Rex Ryan. You know, you take a coach like a Bill Belichick. I mean, Bill Belichick's players aren't really allowed to talk about the team. Bill Belichick, he says what he has to say during, you know, the interview process, and he gets out of town. You know, but when Rex Ryan wants to stand up there at the podium and he wants to talk and he wants to create all this attention that's given to him and his team and what he's going to say and the moves he's going to do, all you're doing is creating unnecessary. I mean, let your play talk, bud. You know, you don't need to be up there talking a whole bunch about how great you are. Why don't you go let your players back it up?
Do you just want to punch people when they play this and make fun of it? Just always the Andy Griffith thing?
When I first got in the car biz, I think like the first 15 cars I sold, this was played over the loudspeaker for 30-second intervals every time that I sold one. So,
well, they always play Camptown Races for me. Doo-dah, doo-dah. So, I know how you feel, I believe. And what makes me feel better is having a little lunch at the Chicken Coop or having a little evening get-together at the Chicken Coop or watching games at the Chicken Coop, Kearney or Grand Island. They're there for you every single day, open 7 days a week with lunch specials. And on this Thursday, I don't even have to look because I know it's the Shrimp Po' Boy. Yes, it is, for $5.99 with your choice of side item. It is so good. Check that out today, the Hustle and Bustle. Swing in there. Guys, gals, maybe it's time for you to take a relaxation while the other half of the family goes out and finishes their shopping. Kick it at the Chicken Coop. Happy hour from 2 to 5:30 Monday through Friday at the Chicken Coop, Kearney and Grand Island. Time to run through the notes to wrap up the show on this day. The Associated Press Male Athlete of the Year, Michael Phelps, over LeBron James and Usain Bolt.
No. Fail.
Are they going to play Labor Day weekend college football at Dallas's Jerry World and Cowboy Stadium until 2024? That's good for college football.
Absolutely.
The Nebraska volleyball team is going to get a transfer from Tennessee. She was the 2011 SEC Player of the Year in Kelsey Robinson. Sounds like her and the coaching staff no longer got along down there.
Can she play D-tackle?
She plays volleyball. We had Lindsay Moore on yesterday. The Husker women do play tonight, hosting Oral Roberts. Tip-off at 7:05 on 12:30 KHAS. Creighton guard Josh Jones has undergone his heart surgery. Went under 9 hours of surgery to correct the problem that caused his heart rate to accelerate. He then passed out before the Nebraska game. A surgeon threaded wires into his heart using radio frequency energy to locate and fix the cause of the atrial flutter, that caused Jones to faint before the game. He'll have another operation in January to make sure this one worked. He got out yesterday about noon. Coach McDermott said the player was in good spirits. He has another follow-up exam today. He had an infected heart valve in high school. It hasn't been decided if he'll ever be able to play basketball again. The initial reports were if he came through all of this very clean, it's possible. And then Creighton went out and beat Tulsa last night. And Omaha Central's 41-game winning streak came to an end last night in agonizing fashion. And Nebraska folks, you should be sad, not happy, that Omaha Central lost this game. They lost at the buzzer. 2 seconds to go. The number two team in the country, Long Beach, California, hit a three-pointer to win it 52-49.
Well, I seen about a week ago, they only beat Burke by like seven.
Yeah, they were looking ahead.
Yeah.
I'm going to give them that. They play again tomorrow afternoon at 4:15. Their 41-game winning streak tying the longest in Class A history. Grand Island had one in the late 40s. There is some basketball tonight at last check. Southern Valley was playing Loomis. Northwest and Central Catholic both went to school today, so that's a good intercity rivalry. Elwood Gibbon postponed. Wilcox Hildreth Red Cloud postponed. No makeup dates set. Hastings St. Cecilia at Sandy Creek postponed to tomorrow. Same times, and you can hear those on our sister station, 1230 AM, KHAS. Andrew? Thanks for coming in today, man.
Hey, thanks for having me.
Anything else you want to just kind of...
So you're telling me Grand Island Northwest and Central Catholic are playing tonight?
That's what I'm hearing.
Gabers? The legend?
Yeah.
See, he's still coaching there, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Guy's been coaching.
His 37 assistants.
Oh, my gosh.
He still... He sports it up, too.
Oh, he's still slapping the floor right now.
Oh, and I love it because, you know what? Here's one of my mini pet peeves. It's like, okay, we introduced the starting lineups. Now you just go to the center circle and we start. No. Gavers is old school. You get back over to the bench. I'm still drawn up on the grease board. There's a minute before. We're not standing around. I'm coaching. You're paying attention. We're working.
I love
it. That's some good stuff tonight. So, again, that's what's going on, folks. Don't forget, get to our website at ESPNSuperstation.com and fill out your bowl bonanza sheet. Need to have it emailed in by Saturday. Bob Jensen, Huskerland Prep Report, gives us a winter sports update and a kind of year-in-review in high school sports tomorrow. Jim Langens, my co-host. I want to thank Derek Rackley of the Big Ten Network, Tri-City Storm Coach Josh Howgie, and Luke Hoover of RotoWire for joining us on the show today. Andy Griffith, Merry Christmas, man.
Merry Christmas to you too, Doug.
We'll see you tomorrow on the Doug and Daddy Show.
All sports, one source, two stations, KICS Hastings, KXPN Kearney, Central Nebraska's ESPN Radio Superstation.
You've been listening to a Doug and Daddy podcast brought to you by Cunningham's Journal. Cunningham's Journal, the only bar you need to know in Kearney.
Oh, darling, I feel like amazing.
Don't make me do that again.
Game over.